Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
My wife always told me to not leave the front door of our apartment unlocked. I was constantly forgetting. After what happened last night, I'll never forget again. I might never sleep again either. When I was growing up, my family lived in a small town where most people didn't even bother locking the doors most of the time. They'd pull up to the grocery store and leave their car running outside, or kids would leave their bikes out in front of their houses on the lawn with no lock or chain. I guess I kept that naive faith in humanity into my adult years and redoubled it when I moved out of the city and back to a quiet town again with my wife around 5 years ago. Recently, I left my car windows rolled down overnight and nobody stole anything from the Mazda out in the building's parking lot. I woke up the next morning to find the car untouched. It actually surprised me, but it also made me feel a little bit justified in my belief in people's general goodness. I'd had my car broken into before, and knew others who had as well, but not in the neighborhood where I lived. That sort of thing didn't happen in my neck of the woods, not anymore. The place where I live now is that rare sort of small town where bad things don't usually happen. That quiet, idyllic sort of village where there's still a main street lined with shops owned by locals. No Walmarts or power centers for miles. The occasional arson, mugging or burglary might rarely occur. Once in a blue moon, you'd hear about something bad that happened nearby. But those awful things could happen anywhere. You just never think it will happen to you, until it does. My wife was more pragmatic though. She listened to a lot of true crime podcasts. "You did it again," she yelled at me last week, after I had left the door unlocked for a few hours and she noticed. "Someone's going to come in here and murder us one of these days." That was our running joke. If I left the front door open when she came home from work, half of the time I unlocked it intentionally, knowing she was coming home. She would come in the door and yell out jokingly, "I'm going to murder you," in a playful attempt to scare me. It never worked, except maybe that one time. But she was also serious about it sometimes. When I left the door unlocked overnight once, she got really upset about it and told me never to do that again. Who knew what sort of maniac could have come in, she said. Turned out she listened to a particularly horrifying true crime story on a podcast the day prior. It was a recounting of a murderer who had done just that, entering women's houses while they slept and doing unspeakable things. I apologized, feeling bad that she was actually scared of these things. I sure wasn't, but then again, I'm a 6.5 foot tall galoot who most people don't mess with just after taking one look at me, whereas she's a 5 foot no inch lady, so I can understand there's a difference. It wasn't like I was intentionally leaving it unlocked. I just kept forgetting. Maybe my hands were full coming in with groceries and I just never got around to it after settling things down. Or maybe it was just absent-minded distractibility on my part. Either way, I was admittedly not very good at locking the front door, especially when we were home. And then, last night happened. I went out for a late night McDonald's run and came in with my hands full. Christine was fast asleep in the bedroom, and I sneakily unwrapped my McDouble and the straw wrapper for my chocolate milkshake. I indulged in the midnight snack. I forgot all about going to lock the front door after coming inside. Normally, the door downstairs at the main entrance of the building would serve as a secondary line of defense to the unknown dangers of the outside world. But somebody had been leaving it propped open lately, and they had done so again last night. A screwdriver had been wedged between the doorframe and the door, keeping it from closing and allowing a cold breeze in. The late night wind was chilly, but I decided to leave it, worried I would leave some poor kid who'd lost his keys locked out in the cold. I went to bed a couple of hours later at around 2 a.m. It didn't occur to me that I'd forgotten to lock the door of our apartment again as I walked to the bedroom in my bare feet, turning off lights as I went. After a couple of hours of restless sleep, maybe around 3:30 or 4 a.m, I got up to go to the bathroom. The apartment was completely blacked out with darkness, and I couldn't see anything except the very faint light of the moon outside. Still, I knew the apartment well enough to make it to the toilet by feeling the walls and doorways with my hand. I groped my way from handhold to handhold, stumbling my way through the blackness into the bathroom. The faint chirp of crickets could be heard outside. I knew it would still be a couple of hours at least until sunrise. I still had time to get a bit more sleep before getting up for work. There was a creaking sound from the living room suddenly, as if someone had just stepped on the floorboard. A shiver went down my spine as I stood there in front of the mirror in the bathroom, about to return to bed. It was probably just a neighbour, I thought to myself. The floors and walls in the building were so thin you could hear everything that happened next door and in the apartment above. And our upstairs neighbours were always so loud, it didn't seem abnormal. But still, it sounded slightly different, as if it were closer, setting me slightly on edge. Regardless, I went back into the bedroom. My heart was beating fast in my chest as I laid down in the bed and had a bit of difficulty closing my eyes. I thought about the door outside and the door to our apartment, realizing I'd perhaps left it unlocked. I thought about the squeak of the floorboards, but couldn't help but wonder if I was right about what had made that sound. My cat suddenly jumped up on my lap from the floor, burrowing into my arms as if hiding from the cold, or from something else. She wasn't purring like she normally would have been, looking for affection. She seemed to be looking for something else. Protection, maybe? Then suddenly, she looked up sharply with her mirrored eyes reflecting the dim moonlight. I followed her gaze as she froze and stared at the space ahead of us. As I lay there, looking at the doorway to the room with her, I couldn't help but feel like there was the vague shape of a person there, and I thought I saw eyes vaguely hovering 6 feet from the ground. Eyes like my cat's, mirrored and reflecting the dim moonlight back at me. Someone looking at us from the doorway to the bedroom? Or just my imagination? My cat buried her head deeper into my armpit, and I looked up again, and the shape in the doorway seemed to be gone, if it had been there to begin with. I shook it off as ridiculous, telling myself the same old thing. We lived in a quiet apartment in a quiet town. Things like that don't happen to us here. What I was worried about, that was something from a movie or TV show, not something from real life. Reluctantly, after a long while of listening and glancing distrustfully at the darkness, I hesitantly closed my eyes. And I drifted back into a fitful and uneasy sleep, the cat sitting tense in the crook of my arm, watchful. In my dreams, I knew I was asleep, and yet I could control nothing. There was a soft sound of footsteps approaching from the darkness, of the door squeaking on its hinges as it opened, and I felt someone's presence enter the room. They stood over the bed and watched us. I was laying in bed with my arms limp at my sides. My wife was sleeping next to me, and I could feel the dark presence standing over us, watching us, breathing heavily. The man, which wasn't a man or a shadow, but something else perhaps in between, stood staring at me from the darkness. He stood over me and murmured something incomprehensible, an incantation or a prayer perhaps. It refused to leave, its face boring into mine with its rotten breath reeking like spoiled meat. I thought it would never leave, when suddenly it was moving on and inspecting my wife instead, probing her with its glassy reflective eyes. I was paralyzed with fear and tried to move my arm to wake her, but was unable. Everything I did felt like it was in quicksand. My movements heavy and clumsy, weighted with impossible forces holding me down. I tried to scream, but found my vocal cords were likewise frozen, the same as the rest of me. The shadowy creature stood, hovering over my wife for a few long moments, appraising her, then left the bedroom with an unsatisfied air. I woke up the next morning to the sound of a scream. My wife couldn't speak to me when I asked her what was wrong. She was clutching her arms tightly around herself, trembling, and just pointed at the front door with a shaking hand. It was unlocked, and there was blood all over the doorknob. Not only that, but it was in our kitchen, I noticed as well. Boot prints covered in red were running all through the apartment where it had been. Not only that, but there was a note on our coffee table. The police have it now, but I'll try to sum up its contents for you here. Thank you for letting me into your home last night. Really helped myself to the contents of your fridge. The leftover roast was excellent. Rare, just the way I like it. However, you and your wife were not quite to my taste. I prefer blondes and redheads, brunettes in a pinch. But the two of you have such dark hair. It is so unfortunate. Did you see me there last night, looking at you from the doorway of your bedroom? I thought I caught you staring, perhaps, as I watched with my night vision goggles. Sometimes they catch the light of the moon just so, and people see a reflection, like a large cat is watching them from the shadows. But I'm so careful now. I don't think you saw me. If you did, you wouldn't have gone back to sleep. Did you feel me standing over you, watching you while you dreamt? Did you feel me in your dreams as I debated slicing pieces from you? I almost did, you know, but decided against it. If not for the leftover prime rib, I might have. But I was no longer all that hungry. Still, I feel a craving for something else. I'll see what other doorknobs twist and turn in this building. Wish me luck. Jaguar. P.S. You both look so peaceful while you're sleeping. After reading that, I panicked immediately. There were photos of us tucked beneath the letter, pictures he had taken of us while we were asleep, eyes closed and snoring. I found out a few hours later that two women in our building were dead, both blondes who lived on the fourth floor together. We'd seen them in the elevator, but I didn't know their names until finding out they were dead. Two more victims of unlocked doors. Victims of the Jaguar. The police are out searching for him. Who knows if they'll ever find him, though. I hope they do. He took a set of our house keys with him. And I can't help but wonder if maybe one day he's coming back.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.